Today is February 10th, 2015. I'm Lois Martinazzi, and Yvonne Cernan Addington is here with me, and we are interviewing Lawrence Lee, also known as Larry Lee. Larry, when did you come to Tualatin?
1936, October.
October, you remember that?
That's what the deed says.
Oh, I see. And you came with your family, obviously?
Yeah.
Who all was in your family?
Well, I was living with my dad. My mom died at Christmas Day when I was 10 months old.
Oh, my God.
And you had sisters and brothers that came with you?
Yeah, Darwin was 5 years older than me. He came, and Lila lived here some of the time, and so did my sister Louise. But was mainly Darwin and myself and my father some of the time.
What was your father like?
He was cranky.
It didn't rub off, thank goodness.
We don't have to go. Well, in a way, he was very charming, but he was probably, by today's standards, not a nice person.
Well, did he like nature?
Yeah, he was a naturalist, if he was anything. And yeah, he planted a lot of trees, and he had some good points, that was for sure.
What kind of trees did he plant?
All kinds, sequoias, and made a nice orchard, and had a lot of different...
Where was the property located?
Oh, well, you know.
I have this little aside here.
Across from Meridian Park Hospital is probably the best identified.
On Borland Road.
Yeah,
and
Borland Road.
What remains there now?
Well, there's a housing development now, and not very much remains, are there?
But the trees, the sequoia trees, can you talk
about
them?
Yeah, they're still there. By the way, they're big trees, but they're badly stunted, too. They're too close together, and then they don't have any... There's sidewalks and pavement on this one side, mm-hmm. and sidewalks and houses on the other. So it's a wonder that they're surviving, and I think they're struggling, but nobody knows that.
But how old are they, you think?
Well, they were planted in probably 37, and they were probably, you know, seedlings then, so they'd be a couple of years old.
And did you help your father plant those trees?
Yep, I did.
Now, didn't something happen with those trees?
Well, the mountain beavers come down and gurgled them, and Dad made a deal so that they survived, even though they were girdled when they were, you know, just...
Now, what do you mean, a deal? What did he make? How did he do that?
Well, he got some little branches and made a cut on them and pushed them up and down in the bark so that the juices could flow.
Oh, that was pretty brilliant, really.
Well, I guess so, in a way.
So how much property did your dad buy?
40 acres.
And who did he buy it from?
Klinger. Yes.
And where did Klinger live?
He lived next door. There was about 80-plus acres cleared, and Dad bought the eastern one half.
So how did your dad find this place?
I don't know.
Where did he live before? Where did you live before?
Canby and Roseburg.
How did you feel about coming to Tualatin?
Well, of course, I was really homesick when somebody told me we're never going to go back to Roseburg. I was about 6 years old when they said, well, you know, you're not going to be living at Roseburg anymore.
So that was kind of hard for you to get used to this place.
Oh, yeah, it was. Roseburg's still kind of my home place, as far as I'm concerned.
So where did you go to school?
Tualatin, grade school, and Wesleyan High School.
What was your first grade like?
Well, it was kind of interesting, to say the least. I was a little bit of an outlaw, and my dad didn't think we should play with other kids, generally speaking, and it was interesting and fun, though, basically, and I got to know people and got assimilated.
Did you go to the New Brick School first year?
Pardon?
Did you go to the new brick school in first year? I have to make a little aside here. Larry Lee is my ex-husband. We were married for 40 years, so I know all these answers to these questions.
Yeah, you can straighten
but,
me out.
But I want you to, you know, tell it.
No, we went to the little school. It wasn't a school, but it was down by the Methodist Church. And I think the first and second grade went down there.
Would that be the old City Hall?
Yeah.
While they were building the new
school.
Yeah,
you used to work there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
Oh, yeah. She's kind of remembering that.
Very much so. But I do remember seeing that the classes were held in the City Hall while they were building.
Yeah. There wasn't enough room, I think, for the first and second grade in the old building is what we were told.
Now... You mentioned that you went to West Lynn High School. At that time, how come you went to West Lynn?
I don't really know. Well, my brother went there, and I don't really know why he went there. We probably should have, normally we would have went to Taggart, but just...
I think it had something to do with the school district when the high school at Tualatin went down. Some went to Taggart, some went to Sherwood, but...
And a few of them went to Benson. We could have went to any high school in the state.
Yes. Is that right? And then Tualatin would have just paid your tuition.
I think
right.
The 65th yeah. Meridian Road was the borderline because Alpen Alps and went to West Lynn. They were over there on
yes,
65th.
But
at that time,
quite a bit later.
Yeah, he could have gone to any high school and Tualatin would have just paid the. Okay. And when did you learn to drive?
When I was 16, I guess.
What did you drive?
Pardon?
What did you drive?
I had a 34 Plymouth sedan.
Well, did you drive a tractor?
Well, yeah, but that doesn't count.
Oh, it doesn't?
Oh, I drove a tractor on the road when I was probably in about the sixth grade. You know, I did some work for Bill Saggart.
Yeah.
Who was... Lou Saggart's brother would be Fred Saggart's uncle.
Down on the river?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On the old Emmons place, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can I ask you, you're really close to Bill Lacey's place. Can I ask this story of you? My mother told, and it's before you're 16, so I don't...
Well, this is when we were in the eighth grade. We tipped over Bill Saggart's.
not only Bill Saggart's, but Clyde Husky's, next to my mom's place.
Well, yeah. Right.
Come on.
Well, I don't know who's all the names, but we tipped over... can't remember the name, but she wrote the book, Lafke.
Lafke? You did?
Well, he was in there waiting for us.
Now, he was in there waiting for
you. Clyde Husky that lived, you know where McDonald's is now?
Yeah.
That's my home place.
Clyde Husky. I could be mixed up, but it was
Do
your...
Do I have to tell you what you did?
Well, of course, your memory is kind of funny. You know, you think you remember something, and it's really not always true.
I only knew this because my mom thought it was so funny. Clyde sat in the outhouse waiting.
Well, maybe
for
it
you
was
guys.
Him that was in there then. Yeah. I don't know. Didn't you?
It was Bill Lacey and you that I knew for all these years had done that because Charlie Roberts said that. Mom said you ran into her clothesline.
I did.
You had marks on.
Well,
your neck.
It caught me in the neck.
Who else was there? Somebody else with you?
Well, Floyd Trump.
Oh.
And probably Mike Wyatt.
And someone else.
Well, Well, there were some girls kind of hanging around, too, I think. Maybe Marian Andrews, who's... Well, don't put that down there. I'm not sure it was her.
Just about...
there were somewhere between five and eight of us.
Really?
And we weren't always all together.
Well, somebody confessed just... Before he passed away, it was John George. And he said...
Now, John George was Bob George and changed his name.
Yes, Bobby.
Yeah.
He was Bobby George when you were growing up.
Bob George, yeah.
Yeah. In the eighth grade.
He said he didn't run toward my mother's clotheslines. He ran toward the railroad crossing, and he fell in the ditch. He didn't get caught.
Well, now, who was in the outhouse waiting for you? Was there somebody?
Well, there was a guy, and I thought that he was Lafke.
The Lafkes would have been up on Boone's Ferry. You know, it wouldn't be close down to Yvonne's place.
Well, that could be, but this, when he got married and before he got married, did he always live on Boone's Ferry?
No, you're talking about Herb Lafke. Yeah, he lived down there by you. Herb Lafke.
I just know it was June Husky's dad that fired the shot through the outhouse.
Well, I don't know. I think it was the young Lafke.
Herb could have been.
Herb's gone now. Well, now it wasn't.
Well, everybody's gone.
Didn't somebody tell you those Lacey kids did?
Oh, well, I think this was a different time, but it may not have been. But yeah, I remember that a little plainer. It was Mike Wyatt, I think, and me and Floyd Trump, and the Lacys were going to go with us, but the Lacys chickened out. They wouldn't. That was their neighbor, and they didn't get along with Saggart anyway. They had some minor discrepancy, and so the three of us went down and tipped it over, and we kind of locked him in his barn. Because he was in milking the cows, and then when we tipped it over, we took the board down and ran away. And then the next day, we went down and put it back up. We got the feeling.
This is Bill Saggart.
Yeah, but it was Bill Saggart. And he said, yeah, he said, those blankety blank Lacey kids come tip my toilet over.
Now I learned two toilets.
Huh?
I've learned something, two toilets.
Well, we tipped over several, but the thing of it was, I think it was the day before Halloween, but you really need to start about 3 or 4 days before Halloween because there were fewer toilets in the tip over. Damn, people were going to the inside ones.
What did you like about school?
Well, I kind of liked everything about it. It was, got away from home and didn't have to work, and I liked to go to school, but more or less everything about it.
Mm-hmm. Teachers? Who were your favorite teachers?
Well, I guess in a way Mrs. Cole was, which was kind of everybody's favorite. And there's,
Miss Cole.
She was the main one, and there was Mrs. King was teacher, and
me too.
Yeah, my kids too.
You probably didn't have Jürgen.
No.
And then there was a teacher that lived up by the church at Norwood and Boone's Ferry. The house is still there.
Schumer,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
But and then Thompson was my eighth grade teacher.
That'd be Anne or Laura?
Oh, no. Thompson, I remember.
Might have been Laura. Mm-hmm. And then there was a music teacher that taught all grades. What was her name?
Miss Powell?
Powell.
Yes, yeah.
Was she married? She must have been.
Well, I don't know that she had a husband around, but she had kids. She might have been divorced.
Yeah. I remember the Luces.
Oh, you
do? He was
the
principal when we started the school there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was replaced by Engelbretson, and then right after they hired Engelbretson, he had to go to service. And so Mrs. Cole was the teacher, was the principal for several years. And she married John Henderman, who was president of the school board. Am I right on some of this stuff?
Yes. She was my principal when I got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she must have been there, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're right about the World War II. That's how she got in there. There was a shortage of men.
Well, they drafted Engelbretson. He was only there about a year or less, I think.
Did you remember the Thackers?
Yeah, he was a principal of Oswego Grade School, right?
I think so. Then didn't he come to Tualatin?
No, I don't think he was a teacher there. He had a son named Ricky that was 1 year ahead of me, and they gave me a pair of shoes.
Did you go to college out of high school? Oh, tell me about sports. Weren't you interested in sports?
Well, yeah, I liked to play basketball. And I think Mrs. Cole told somebody I was the best basketball player there in grade school, but I wasn't. There was a guy by the name of Quigley that was about 6'3" that was a lot, you know.
Who was Quigley? You know, didn't he live with the Bowens?
I don't think so. He lived in Norwood.
He did.
I'm not sure he lived there full time.
Was his first name or his last name Quigley?
His last name was Quigley, Robert Quigley.
Did you go to play basketball with any of the camps where the camp barn is now?
Well, I went down there and played basketball in the barn. It's kind of ironical that Lois wrote about, I think it was 6 or 8 barns. And I was in all of them, but the one that out at by Romer's Rest, I never was in that one. But Art used to tell me a lot about that. Art was fascinated with that barn.
Was he?
Well, it was a kind of a hideout, supposedly, for people, gangsters from Chicago or something.
That was during the time of the spinning wheel?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And was it the time of Prohibition before that?
Well, it was probably during and before that and after that. Of course, that's not my story. I mean, that's kind of an old-time story. You know more about that than I do, I think, although I was surprised we were talking about that and you didn't know that Art was so interested in it.
I didn't. I never picked that up from
him. I've heard that, too, mm-hmm. from the Edel side.
Yeah.
Back to the camps. Which boy were you...
Well, Ronnie was 1 or 2 years ahead of me, and Wayne was quite a bit behind me. I think he was about the first grade when I was in the eighth, or maybe even further apart than that. And then Jerry was 5 years ahead, and he was with my brother, and they were kind of best of friends.
Ran the feed store?
Yep, they sure did. They sold the feed store, I think, the Magin.
Yeah, I remember Mr. Magin.
Yeah. Well, my favorite barn has to be the camp barn. It used to be the blank barn. It's still there. It's one of the few.
Yeah.
Got to protect.
Larry, did you go to college?
Well, 1 year, but that I didn't get much out of. I wanted to get married.
Where'd you go to college?
I went down to Oregon State, I think, for a year or 2 terms. My dad come down and talked me out of going to college, which I've never regretted, but my two oldest siblings were kind of bitter about that. They both went to Oregon State.
But they were bitter, why?
Well, they just thought I should have a college education, and probably should have, but I don't know it.
Now, you no longer live on that property on Borland Road. We're here on Southwest 65th in your lovely home. How did you come to purchase this property where you live now?
Well, I think the state took it, and we had some money, and we did a 1031 exchange.
The state took it for what?
For 205. It took 45 acres, because we bought another 30 acres, more or less, a little bit less, I think, from Holder.
Mm-hmm. In what year?
When did 205 go through?
Well, 205, of course, took 2 or 3 years to build, but I always figured 69 is when we got paid, wasn't it?
That's right, that's right. We bought this place, yeah. We bought a Charley Bull, right?
Yeah.
And a pickup.
I suppose. Hell, I don't know.
Well, tell us about the Charley Bull.
Well, we went up to Madras when the Charleys were really just barely getting started, and we bought a bull and brought him home and bred a bunch of cows with him, and they had some real nice crossbred steers, and I think we had 3 grand champions, didn't we? We, the kids did.
The kids did, yeah. Well, they won the show ring. I'm kind of...
Yeah, we had the one steer that should still be famous. He won the gaining contest and the show ring contest and the carcass contest. But you know all this.
And the showmanship from...
Yeah, and Craig won that.
Right.
And I always used to think that Tim was a lot better showman than Craig, but he wasn't. Craig had a real rapport, still does. We had a damn horse that kind of went crazy down at the ranch, the big ranch. By the way, that place is gone to pot, to say the least. But, hell, everybody was scared of that horse. And he was a stallion. And Craig went down there and started to go in there. And I says, you better take the club. Number one, you shouldn't go in there. And he went in there. And when that horse was born, he threw it down and laid on it and did all that stuff that you're supposed to do. Did you know that?
No. I never heard that.
Yeah, he identified with the horse when it was born.
Oh.
And by God, he went in there with that horse and didn't look him in the eye. And the horse calmed right down. Craig put a bridle on him and everything.
That's amazing. Craig was very calm, I remember, in the show ring. Where Tim was more like myself, excitable.
Yeah.
And that is conveyed to the animal. Right away, yeah. But our kids did very, very well.
I think I babysat the first three in the old place, in your first house.
Larry, what was farming like in the past?
I don't know.
Well, when you were a kid, you drove the tractor, and what did you do with the tractor? What kind of tractor did you have?
Well, we had a little Ford Ferguson, which was kind of a lot of people had those, and that. I remember when I traded it in for one a little bigger, Dad thought, what the hell are you going to do with a tractor that big? It wouldn't
well,
have
what
one
did you do with that tractor?
Huh?
What did you do with that tractor?
Well, we ran it all over the country and rototilled and from Lake Grove, and I even took it over to on the Sunset way out there and baled a bunch of hay and stuff.
So you had a custom hay business and custom rotivating, and did that pay off pretty well?
I thought so at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know where I got all the old energy. I can't hardly feed my cows now.
Well, how many cows do you have, Larry?
Well, now I got about 80, but until recently I have 140, 150. That's cows, calves, that's everything. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that many cows.
Where are they?
I got some at up on Homesteader, and I got some on Mountain Road, and then I have some down at Jefferson. I go down there about every second or third day.
Came by Jefferson from Eugene the other night. There was lightning everywhere.
Oh, really?
Oh, thunder.
Larry, did you work when you went to high school?
A little bit.
What did you do?
Well, part of the time, the last 2 years, at least half the time or more, I stayed by myself there, like I'm doing now. I milked, the most I ever milked was 11 cows night and morning, but I didn't do very much of that. It got so I only milked them once a day, put the calves on them in the morning.
Your own?
Yeah, they were all cows, yeah.
And then what did you do with milk?
Sold it to the dairy co-op, Class C.
What does Class C mean?
Well, that's the dirtiest milk they'll take, and, I don't know what the hell they did. There isn't such a thing now. That's all Class A as far as that goes.
Did you have a strainer? Do you strain it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because if the cow kicked the got her foot in the bucket,
well,
what's
things
happened?
Are pretty. Yeah, they. I don't think they ever rejected it, but my God, they sure should have. It wasn't always that bad.
Tell us about the coming of I-5. We already talked about that a little, didn't we?
About what now?
The coming of I-5. I mean 205. Well, I-5 too. Did that change anything in your life?
Well, yeah, of course it did. It took, what, 3 or 4 years to make I-5. Is the bridge, was it put in 55? That.
It was the first part, right?
Yeah.
54 and 55 are what I know of.
Mm-hmm.
And it only came to Tualatin and to the Nyberg Overpass, as I recall.
Probably. It took, 3 or 4 years to
to go
build
further.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, we were farming. Some was Julius and...
Being my grandfather, Julius Martinez, yeah.
But I don't know, there's a lot of history there, but then there isn't any either. You know what I mean? They built a road then. And, I never could figure out for sure when the damn bridge went in there at Wilsonville, but that was...
Oh, that was later. I didn't know Wilsonville. Yeah, that was sort of the second, after the I-5 opened to Tualatin, then it went on to Wilsonville.
Well, yeah, but the bridge, I think, was opened in 1955.
Yes, I guess
you're
right.
Or before.
Well, Larry, tell us about your farming business. How did you get into the berry business?
Well, we got into it kind of accidentally, I guess. Well, we rented Christensen's place, and I was lamenting the fact that it was so damn wet, I couldn't get it plowed up, and Vic says, well, you'll make more money on those damn, on the strawberries than you would, the oats I was going to plant, and I sure did, and that's how I got into it.
That's
and then we were, people kind of wanted to pick a little bit, and we wouldn't let them, and Vic calls up, or Pearl, and said that we should let the people pick, and we did, and we kind of accidentally got into that. So that's how we got into the berry business.
Well, we first sold to the cannery, correct?
Right.
Yeah, we carried on
the
business. 2 years, and then we opened up for you, pick.
Yep.
That was Robbins Road.
Then Robbins Road, yeah. The old Christensen place.
Where did we plant berries first?
We planted them on up here.
Was this the first ones we planted?
Yes. Yeah. Tell us about that. Well, the Bischoff place, where we call this the Bischoff place, where we bought 40 acres, correct? And
yep.
that was in 40 or 69 or 70.
Yep.
Where was the Bischoff? Up by the
this
hospital?
Is it. We're sitting
this
on
is
right
Bischoff.
Now.
This is the Bischoff place, yeah.
So we must have bought that 69?
Yes. Yeah, well, that's when we got the money from the state. State, as I recall, offered us $600 an acre. And we went to court and got $2,500 an acre. Is that correct?
Yeah, about.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it $400? I don't know. Well, it was... The original offer was $33,000 for... It took about 45 acres, so maybe they offered us more than that. I don't remember. Yeah. We got $100,000 roughly from the state, and they condemned it for 33. Got three times.
Yeah, yeah. And the Saggarts, who were right next to us, who bought the other half of the Klinger place, which I should have had you say that, they didn't go to court.
And I don't know what they got. Probably something.
Not much, yeah.
Probably the same as we did. I don't know.
I-205 was a landmark. It first was proposed up by 217, the road that goes to Beaverton. People shut that down, and then there was another one proposed. They shut that down. So,
this was the third one.
It was. Yeah.
And they had another. Then if this didn't go, which it damn near didn't, they were going to go through Canby somewhere.
South of the river.
Yep. That's how I remember it.
And you remember the Kelshes?
Yeah.
What did Mr. Kelsh do when he saw that the freeway was, the 205 was coming right in front of his house?
Well, when he had a heart attack right there at the county, at the courthouse in Oregon City, when they told him that not only was it going to go, well, it didn't go on his place.
No, but it
But
just...
there was about a 50, well, yeah. And he had a heart attack, and he lived, but then he did die of a heart attack a few years later. Yeah, that was pretty damn hard on him.
I heard that story, but I didn't hear it the way you're telling it. So that
well, the way I'm telling it may not be...
No, I think it's correct.
That's...
You're filling in a gap.
Yeah.
Larry, tell us about... didn't you go down to the auction and buy a big sow with a bunch of babies on time?
Well, you were with me, and that was at McMinnville.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell that story?
Well, that was kind of interesting. We went down there, and I didn't have a way to haul it, but there was a guy that, his name was Oldenstadt. He was an Oldenstadt, not one that we really knew, and he lived up here on Homesteader.
Oh, yeah.
By Gary Schneider's?
No.
Well, no, he didn't live on that place.
Not on that one, okay.
He lived the other way, but... And his place is gone. I don't know exactly where.
He lived on Mountain Road.
No, he lived on Homesteader.
He did.
Okay.
This one did. Well, okay. there's one that went to school with Darwin at West Lynn. He may still live on Mountain Road.
Okay. Yeah.
Dennis. This wasn't Dennis. I don't know his name. But anyway, we bought this damn pig. It had 13 babies, right? And... that was funny.
Well, who went with us? Now, it was you and me and who else?
Your dad.
My dad, Art Martinazzi.
He was, well, I got along, I liked Art. We got along good most of the time, not quite all the time, but he put up with me pretty good, and he liked to have me help him with the hay. But, anyway, this Oldenstadt had talked to him, and he bought some pigs, and he didn't have any room. So we had a 52 shib, and we put the sow in the back seat. We didn't have a seat in that damn car.
No, you must have had an idea that we, because I think there was a seat and you took it out.
Yeah, but that was for another reason, I think.
Well, how did we get the sow into the...
Well, we opened both back doors to the car. And I picked up a pig and took it on the other side. And,
A baby.
And the pig started squealing because I just held it by both back feet. And, she jumped in the car, and Art was on the other side, and he shut the door, and I shut the door, and we put the one pig up with her and the other 12 in the back and went home.
Went home from where?
From McMinnville.
No kidding.
And Dad, remember he had
a paper
rolled up Capitol Press, and the sow would be coming up over, and going down the road, Pacific Highway. This should be Larry's story, but I just have to tell this too. You could see the pig jumping up, and people were... The stink in that car was horrible. Oh God, Larry!
It actually went pretty smooth.
And Dad's eyes were just big. He was scared to death. That hog was going to come up over the front seat.
I have to ask this: did you donate a pig to the fundraiser for Ann Laird, who had kidney? They auctioned off a little pig at the school.
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's really big.
Oh gosh, there's to Jim Brock. All the guys in the audience increased the bid in Jim Brock's name, and he ended up with a baby pig in art across the street from us.
Really?
No. And it would get out every time Jim Brock went on the road, and Joyce would have to go get it. You know, clean, white clothes, Joyce. It went down to Merwin Conover's, where this first toilet was tipped over. Scared Deanne's horse, so it got loose, and Joyce had to go get it in her white clothes, and she put it between her legs and held on to the ears to guide it home. And as she's coming in our backyards, I lived there and my dad lived there, my dad saw Joyce coming with that baby pig. He opens the patio door and he said, "Ride him, cowboy, Joyce." And Joyce said, "Ted, you son of a bitch." She just kept walking. The tape is okay. It's all right. But I never knew where he got the pig. Now that solves that question.
So, Larry, did you prefer the olden days to how life is now?
Oh, well, yeah. Of course. You know, I'm going to have a birthday one of these days, and I'm going to be 84, I think. I'm not even sure how old I am, but...
Yeah, you are going to be 84.
But, yeah, life was good for me, and you didn't fully appreciate it, but, and, you know, life isn't so bad now, but it ain't like it used to be. Like, say, about 3 weeks ago, I got so I can't hear, and I did call up this morning, finally, and made an appointment, and so I'm going to see the doctor, but And I've been pretty darn lucky and pretty healthy, but can't hear very good.
What's that? Oh. So what do you think this area is going to look like in 20 years?
You know, I don't think a lot about that in a way, and it's kind of hard to say, but, and by the way, Craig's been talking to a guy about buying this whole damn thing. I don't think there's much to it. He finally had him, he wouldn't tell me who it was or anything for a while, but then this guy came over and talked to us about a month ago. And I think it's pretty nebulous. I think he's just looking for a... Has Craig talked to you about it?
No, I haven't talked to Craig since Christmas. I didn't even call him on his birthday. Well, you know, going back to the Christensen place, we rented that 20 acres, was it? Down at the end of Robbins Road?
Yes. We rented the whole place, but 20 acres belonged... 20 and 14 hundreds belonged to a guy. Yeah, that was quite a deal.
Tell us about it.
Well, I guess I told the guy that I was interested in buying 20 acres, and he said, well, I've already sold it, which he did, and they come out and dug test holes and whatnot, and then the deal didn't go through. So he called me up, and I went in his office and talked to him, Longford Hamilton or something, he represents some big company, I think it was in New York. But he said, I'm going to sell you 34 acres then. I said, no, I just want to buy the 20. And we hassled a little bit about it, but we just bought the 20. And then, who the heck bought it? Well, he sold it. But I told him that Wark was interested in it, and he sold it. I think he sold it. We paid $3,000 an acre, and he sold it for $7 an acre, those two pieces. Mm. But, well, yeah, they built a house on it, I guess. Let's see. I think there's just one house on that.
Now, is that across the creek?
Yeah. Anyway.
So you still own that land? I guess we still own that land, don't we?
Well, yeah, I wanted, this is off the record, but I'd like to talk to you and Robin. And anyway, I'll do anything. Mm-hmm. It's no big deal.
So what do you grow on that now?
Well, actually, Craig's got the trees on it. Most of it. And I've got... 7 acres down there, I think 6.78 acres, and I farm part of yours, and for a while he used the whole damn thing, but that's another thing. You have 5.38 acres down there, and then we own an undivided interest in 8, I think.
Well, how did you get into the Christmas tree business?
Well, that was kind of an accident too, wasn't it? Or, well, not so much. I don't know. We just kind of started getting in. How did we get in?
I don't remember.
We thought it was a good idea and planted some trees, I guess.
Did you plant the trees at Wonker's Corner?
Yeah, I had trees down there, but that's... I only had... That was a 10-year deal, and I was down there for about 15, but Dwayne Stroop, who was a good partner, I'll tell you that, he's taken it over altogether now, and he doesn't like the Christmas tree business either. But the Christmas tree business has changed some, too. More people have an artificial tree, and there's a few more people that don't have a Christmas tree. It's not like it used to be when we were kids. You know, there's only about a third of the people that have a tree now. Used to be, 60-70% way back when? Everybody had a tree.
It was a must.
Yeah, well, not everybody has them now.
So how many acres did you accumulate in all this time from the first ones on Borland?
Well, as far as Christmas trees, we probably have a legitimate 20 acres of trees, at least, maybe 25 mm-hmm. or 30. Mm-hmm. I'm out of the Christmas tree business now.
Now, I can't remember exactly how we got the store started over on Borland Road. Didn't we sell trees there?
Sure did.
And
you sold wreaths, too.
Well, that's where I came in, I guess. If a tree wouldn't make a Christmas tree, I'd cut it up and make wreaths and centerpieces out of it.
Well, that's really pretty amazing what you did with the Christmas tree. And then, of course, you can't talk family politics, but anyway.
How many years did you operate that store?
I don't remember.
A long time.
Well, you know, when we got started in the Christmas tree business, Craig was in college. And he's the one that, the first year we went down to other side of Forest Grove and bought a truckload of Christmas trees and gave them to Craig. And he sold them.
I'd forgotten that.
I think that's how we got started in the business.
Wow.
In the meantime, before that, we had planted some trees, but they weren't ready, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. So how many acres overall for all your stuff did you accumulate?
I suppose about 30 acres. Craig's got some up at Keller's that I started. And
I mean, other than Christmas trees.
Oh, other than Christmas trees. Well, I have 235 acres down at Jefferson, but that's mainly it's really an interesting place. It's got a permitted quarry on it, but it's not functioning, but it can be. I pay the dues on it.
Do you raise mint on it? Peppermint?
No, there's about 50 acres that could grow peppermint, but peppermint's a real iffy crop. It tends to get verticillium wilt. And I've noticed sometimes down there they'll plant a field, which isn't very many, but that used to be the mint capital of the world. It'll get verticillium wilt just before, when it gets ready for its first crop.
I see.
And it costs about $5,000 an acre plus to put the chemicals on it, and then it may not work. So they don't grow much mint anymore, but they do grow some. Mm-hmm. But we're getting kind of far from Tualatin in a way.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Vaughn, do you want to talk to Larry about when you were city manager and what happened then?
Well, that, of course, I think. Of course, he passed away. The guy they had the trucking outfit.
K-Lines? Mr. Barry?
Jim Barry. He got to be kind of a good friend of mine and got to know him pretty
really?
Well. Yeah?
Oh, he was a good friend of Tualatin.
Well, I thought that was really, really interesting the way that you're...
If you'd tell a story, it would be kind of nice. He built the building across from the old City Hall, where the city manager is now. That was called the Barry Building.
Mm-hmm.
And he built it along with Van Raden built the first one, and then Jim Barry built the second one, just to show the people who were protesting that he supported the city.
Yeah, he was quite a guy.
Jim Barry.
Yeah.
And he had key lines up across the river up by the Safeway at that exit.
Well, Barry's still own a bunch of property there. I think the heirs do.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, he developed most of that back behind there.
We had such trouble with annexation over there, too, and he helped with that one. He wanted in because he didn't want to be a residential like the Durham and the Riverbend.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Well, he has a lot of land or development down at Wilsonville. He bought from Ralph Ellickson, and they didn't get along. Of course, I talked to him about Jim Barry in the presence, but what, 2 or 3 years ago he passed away, didn't he?
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't?
Mm-mm.
No. One thing about him, about over 10 years ago, they told him he had Alzheimer's. but it never really showed up. He didn't. Of course, Alzheimer's, they don't, they can't, they don't know what the hell you got
reverse.
That. Or there's 70 kinds of dementia. They thought my sister had it, but she didn't. But, well, you know more about Jim Barry than I do.
No, but how did you deal with him? I only, two or three events. But.
Well, I don't know. He just kind of liked me. He wanted to buy a tractor. And he wanted me to kind of pick one out for him, which I kind of did, I guess. But he bought it from the dealer, and about a 100 horsepower tractor. And then I used to have coffee with him quite a bit, a group of us, and he was there some of the time. And he sure didn't like Ralph Ellison. but I know him from what he did in Wilsonville and what he did in Twelton, over way over there, where people still think that's Lake Oswego. To try to explain it to them that it isn't.
That was another thing. We wanted them to come as soon as the River Grove Durham people got going on residential to keep the industrial from happening. The industrial people wanted to annex.
People are sure strange. I mean, look at what went on over there at Sherwood.
Yeah, same.
I mean, I don't know if it's good or bad or anything, but hell, progress is progress. And they want to save the small town drugstore and stuff like that. Well, that's I like them too, but I don't know.
It happens.
They go over there and shop at the. People at Sherwood shop there at the Langer's, you know.
Yep. I like Langer's shopping center there. The Barry thing was kind of funny, though. He was being courted by Lake Oswego. He was right on I-5 north of the where Safeway Shopping Center is. And Oswego wanted him really bad, and I said, when Oswego calls you, let us come and talk you out of it so you'll come to Tualatin. So one day he called. He said, Lake Oswego people have called. So I said, can we meet you, the engineer and I? And where? He said, only place I've ever talked to you is in Ramada Inn, so let's meet there. And he started, Mr. Barry started pouring drinks. He brought his son, whatever his name was, buying drinks for us. The engineer got smashed and had to go home, leaving me to drink. And after one drink, he said, well, what do you think? Should I annex to Tualatin or should I annex to Lake Oswego? And I'd had just enough to say, frankly, Mr. Barry, I don't give a damn. And he said to me, that's my style. We're going to annex to Tualatin. It's terrible how some of those politics went in those days. But he was a wonderful man. And then he built that building just because of the people who protested the downtown urban renewal.
So, Larry, didn't you dig graves over at the cemetery?
Yeah, that's another thing.
Who hired you to do that?
Well, you and your dad. Well, I don't know. Yeah, you did, too. Excuse me.
Okay, that's one thing we were supposed to do, to tell him to turn off his cell phone.
What's up?
I'm afraid to turn it off. For real, I can't turn it on again. Just leave it alone.
Just leave it.
Yep, I will. So, okay, bye. That's great. Got a number for him. That, well, I ought to turn this off.
Oh, yeah. You don't know how to turn it back on again. It probably looks so good as this. Anyway, no, who hired you to dig graves?
Well, yeah, things are dim. It seems like I think I got in trouble with Art. He's the one that hired me in a way and the one that got me out of there. But yeah, I remember you now more. You remember it was Mitchell or somebody we...
That was you.
Huh? That wasn't my fault.
It wasn't your fault.
Larry's talking to Yvonne now.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, you did the...
I dug a grave and I guess I ran into something. I don't even remember.
It was my fault. If we're talking about the same thing, All the graves in the cemetery, there were indication of when they died, when they were born, when they died, but not where they were buried. This is before Art Martinazzi took over. So once in a while I would have trouble, and Betty Mitchell died. She was from Norwood. That's who you're talking about now,
yeah.
Right?
And that's about all I remember. I don't remember the details.
Well,
did I run into something?
No, you didn't. It's not your fault. There's was a grave, plot graves for Scots, also of Norwood. But I couldn't find a place for Betty Mitchell, so I put her in the aisle between the Scott family. And you dug the grave. And there was a funeral. Mrs. Scott came down about 3 days later. She is an 80-some-year-old lady, and she was hopping mad. She said, "That woman was after my husband all those years, and now you got them laying together."
Bad news.
And so what happened then?
I had to call Young's Funeral Home and say, "What did I do now?" "No problem, just dig it back up. We'll move her somewhere else."
At this time, Yvonne, you were secretary of the cemetery board.
Yes,
and so you were handling the graves
with the city. And my dad and Art talked me into doing that. And I think I did it for maybe 10 years or so. Mm-hmm.
And your dad was Ted Saarinen.
He was on the board too, the cemetery board. Ted Saarinen. I had never recalled who was helping me during those times. They just put the thing back in the car and did it over again.
Well, it's kind of vague. The thing I remember is that I was driving an oil truck in the wintertime, and when I got done driving the oil truck, there were two graves that had to be dug by hand. Uh-huh. And I dug them both after I, in the dark.
Awful.
Well, it wasn't awful then. I guess I had a hell of a lot of energy or something, but I dug two graves after that. And hell, I finished it at 9 o'clock at night or something. I mean, it didn't take me long to dig a grave.
Well, you're strong, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And they were all real deep.
Yeah, I think...
Well, 6 feet, weren't they?
Nope. Didn't have to be 6 feet.
But they had these concrete slabs that you had to...
They had to be... There were two different kinds of liners, and one had to be about a foot longer and 4 or 6 inches wider. I don't know. But anyway, used Art shovel for a long time. Wore the damn thing out and had to buy one myself.
That episode led to my sister coming home from U of O and Judy Mansfield. The two of them marked every gravestone, and that's how we got the cemetery plotted with names on it other than just numbers, and Art helped with that too. That's how we
did. My dad ever tell you about the Indians that were buried at the cemetery?
He may have, but that's real vague, and I couldn't tell you anything about the Indians.
Well, he apparently told Yvonne and told her where they were buried. And
said never dig there, he said. It's the southwest corner.
And on the map it says, that in Dad's handwriting, these lots not for sale. Because they were, I don't know when it was, maybe in the 50s, they were buried. They were found, these bodies were found up at the Harsh Place.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they replanted them or moved them? I see.
99 and Twellin Road on the Harsh Place, right? I've asked the Grand Ronde tribe if they know, and they haven't found any record either. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'd forgotten about you working for the cemetery too.
Yeah, Larry was a real hard working guy. He liked to work. And then he and the kids and I, we mowed the cemetery, you know, a lot with hand mowers. Well, push mowers, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Shell's kids did too, my sister Rochelle. Yeah.
So, did you deal with the Meridian Park Hospital episode?
Well, I supported it as about and lightly. I mean, you know, I wasn't really in the mix very much. I know it come awful close to not going in there. They just had a meeting toward the end of it and said it's either going to fish or fly or it isn't. And that's when they passed it. But it damn near went to
Oswego. In Clackamas County? That's what you're talking about, the Clackamas County Commissioners almost.
Well, that lower Tualatin Valley homeowner.
Talk about that.
Well, that's typical of people. I mean, especially Mrs. Miles. She said, well, you know, all these people are going to get all these bugs out of the river and whatnot, and it'll just destroy the whole damn community. Doesn't have anything to do with the river, really, I don't think.
It seems like they protested the city sewer plant because germs from the hospital would be stronger than the humans, naturally.
Well, they make mistakes, but everybody does. But, I mean, I think Tualatin's damn lucky to have the hospital there, and it's an asset to the community, even though they probably do make mistakes. But
it's still the largest employer.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you were a kid, tell me about that property where the hospital is.
Well, number one, most of it wasn't cleared. Some of it was.
Really? Of trees?
Yeah. Trying to, you know, there again, things change, but I think it was only about a third cleared, the whole piece. And the interesting thing about it is Fred must have bought that in the late 20s.
Fred who?
Sager.
I wonder who he bought it from.
I don't know. Do you?
No, I don't.
But he bought it to sell it, I think. But he never could, when he'd meet his price, he'd had it for sale long enough that he wanted more all the time. And he sold it for $1,755 an acre, and 11 months later, Commonwealth bought that for about $5,800 an acre. So that, and of course, that's a political thing, but Glenn Jackson was the highway guy, and he may be a friend of yours, or he may not be, but you know, supposedly they had almost every exit on 205 tied up.
Glenn Jackson or Commonwealth? Or were they together?
Well, they were one and the same.
Really?
Well, I think he was a big shot, if not the president of Commonwealth.
No kidding. He was the chairman of the Oregon Department of Transportation for years.
Yes.
Jackson.
But during that time, or before that time, he was a big shot for Commonwealth, and I think he was ahead of it. And they had all that stuff tied up, Commonwealth did. There was going to be an overpass in Norwood.
Yeah.
And that's why they didn't put it in there. That's one story.
Okay.
And, of course, there's lots of stories, and most of them aren't true. But Commonwealth had a lot of options, and they dropped them all. They had to.
You're
not as bad as Kitzhaber for now today, but.
I like Kitzhaber.
I
worked
too.
For him.
What did you think of him?
He was a very good boss, very concerned, and a policy wonk. I never heard any of this stuff that's going on now. But I want to ask you, now that you're there with Glenn Jackson, at one time I heard that I recently heard that I-5 probably should have gone down the Clackamas, Washington County line, and that some politician got it moved over to where it is now. Have you ever heard that?
They started I-5 a little bit before the war. Did you know that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that lined up with 65th, I think. They tore up that concrete and whatnot eventually, but they poured a slab over there?
Over where?
Right across the river. And it lined up with 65th.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And they did maybe several hundred feet.
Well, there's a 65th across the river that lines up with this 65th right now.
And well, that's where...
That's what he's talking about.
I'm over there. I can look right across the river and see the...
Well, they had concrete and they...
At Browns Ferry Park, too. Are we talking Meridian Line? You're talking about Meridian
Road? We're talking
Road?
About the Willamette Meridian,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. And that's
And I say that lined up with that, and there's probably only 1,000 or 1,500 feet that actually had concrete poured.
I had heard that, too. But why was it moved then?
Because they moved the freeway.
But why did they move the freeway? Do you have any idea?
Well, no.
Yes, you do.
I really don't. Probably Nyberg and politics, and I don't know.
It's okay. But I just heard the same story, but you've...
There was concrete poured there.
I didn't hear about the concrete, but I heard that someone in our town had maps showing I-5 going right down the Meridian Road, and it was moved.
Well, I believe that.
In the last year, I've heard that.
Wow.
Donna Ohanishan's husband said Vince Sylvie had the maps. And now you're saying that's true.
And then it was moved over to, went through the Nyberg property. Was Clayton down at the...
He wasn't down there at that time, but...
This probably, I'm going to say, was poured in 39, 38, maybe 40.
In the 40s.
Well, it'd be real. Well, yeah, I'm...
After the war. Or during the end of the war, I understand.
Well, I think before the war, because I have a friend that said that she knew it. You know, she saw that.
You've heard that same story?
Yes.
Well, see, I remember the concrete, and I was, you know, a kid.
So that's where... Now that's three people who said that.
But it was across the river? What would you be doing over there as a kid?
Well, it was across the river because that's...
You could see it.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, okay. Oh.
No, the concrete was poured, like I say. Seemed to me like it maybe not over 1,000 or 1,500 feet.
On the roadway or the bank?
Well, I don't know how close to the river it came, but it come pretty damn close to it. I mean, I didn't pay that much of attention. And, well, let's say that, well, the war stopped it.
Mm-hmm. I
yes.
see.
Yes.
Boy.
And the war, of course, we were attacked December 7th, 1941.
One.
And I would say that's about the time that I would say it was, I would guess it was poured just before that, but I don't know.
Do you
what
think
they did do that was kind of amazing, and that doesn't have much to do with Tualatin, is that they put the airport in down there at Aurora.
Yes.
And they bought the land, they bought 2 miles east and west and 2 miles north and south, and they went ahead and did the... north and south, which is where the airport is now, but they bought and condemned the land and were ready to start in east and west so that, you know, they could land both ways. And by the time they got to east and west, of course, the war was, we didn't know what the hell was going to happen, whether we were going to bomb us or invade Portland or Seattle or San Francisco or what. But they had the bombers that could land east and west, well, north and south.
North and south.
But they let the people get their land back east and west. Hmm. But they had it all condemned and everything and ready to go. And then by the time they did that, it was probably 43 or... something, and they could see that they weren't going to need it.
Bobby George used to tell the story that when the feds came to build that airport at Aurora, they bulldozers like crazy moved all the earth to one end, and it contained lots of fossils.
Really?
Lots of mastodon stuff. and he was always after me to go find that pile. There are some of us have tried to find it, but we can't. But the story is just right on what you're saying. They just dozed off that area really fast and made that airport.
Mm. Yeah, there were no studies or a damn thing. They just made it. And of course they put heavy concrete down there, so the bombers, which they didn't have the big ones, they made bigger ones.
Did you own Fir Point Farms for a while?
No. Erica and Aaron rented it for 2 years.
They
almost bought it, but they didn't.
Have you heard that there is a barn on the other side of the road?
Sealanders, and there was a sea lion that come up there, and it must have been in 38, and got on their place and everything, and finally somebody shot it, and there was a big brouhaha over it, whether it should have been shot or not.
How did it get there?
Well, it come up the
Willamette?
Yeah, come up the Willamette and then the Pudding, and then it got into a little creek and went up there. But it was they used to call that the Sealander.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows anything about it now.
Yeah, I called it, or learned it was Seal Farm. Hmm. And when I've told the story, people go, oh sure, she's
no, awesome. There was a sea lion up there.
I'm glad to hear this.
Well, I'm an old timer, even though Art said I'm not.
You used to say, Larry, that you're not old enough to be an old timer, and you're not new enough to be a newcomer, and you're kind of in...
Well, I ain't anymore. No matter. I'm not really an old timer, but there isn't any older than me.
I'm having that trouble, too.
Well, didn't you used to farm the old cider place? Across the road where the hospital is?
Well, I baled hay there for a couple of years for Earl and Fred, and then I did it with the hospital one or two years, too.
You ever plow it?
Not much of it. No, I don't think so.
Did you associate with Carl Ingren, a hospital administrator?
Yeah, he and I got along real good. He's the one I knew.
He was a great guy.
Yeah, I thought he was. I was surprised that he kind of got bumped out of there, but whatever.
He's still around.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
No kid.
I don't know.
He's probably my age or so.
Yeah, I think so.
Did your dad get a water right on the farm when you bought that 40 acres? Was there a water right on it already?
No.
He applied for it?
Yeah.
And what creek was that?
Some creek.
Awesome. Salt Creek, yeah.
Well, you forgot more than I know, but I tell you.
It's hardly.
Are we ready to shut this off? Or
I appreciate what you've told me today.
Is that the right time? Or is it 1 o'clock?
I don't think that's.
Oh, it's 12. That's the amount of time we've talked.
No, that's the amount of time we've talked.
Might as well unplug it.
Okay, you're the boss.